Hey, good morning and welcome.
95.1.
Hey, there he is. Thank you very much. This is Jimmy LaRue on a Saturday morning. It is the first day of March. That's right. So what does that mean? That means 20 days in a wake up and it's springtime. It's actually kind of feels kind of springy today. Quick look at our forecast for today. Sunny skies, high of about 28. No record shattering temperatures or anything like that, but mostly clear this afternoon into this evening, cooling off to around 15. Tomorrow looks like sunny skies, warming back to about 45. And then for Sunday night, mostly clear, cooling off to only 30. Monday, slight chance of a little bit of rain to clean some things up, and 52 degrees. My goodness. What an absolutely gorgeous morning here this morning already. And just a couple minutes after 10 o'clock this morning, we're already warming up. We're at about 17 going to 28 today, but we'll be up to 52 again by Monday. Let's get up to date. What's happening with our Raiders scoreboard? Lots of activities. The girls basketball team has ended their season, and they'll be heading off to playoffs. The boys basketball's on their way. Oh, yeah, there's something to do with the state boys hockey thing going on. I think the boys hockey is going to state again, three out of the last 4 years. So congratulations to them. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up in a little bit. But let's find out what's been going on in Raider Nation throughout the week.
Hello and good morning, Raider Nation, and welcome back to this week's Raider Sports Scoreboard. As winter sports wrap up, we have a little bit of a short scoreboard today. The wrestling team had their sections last Saturday, qualifying a lot of wrestlers to state. They include Charlie Johnson, Keith Harner, Caden Staub, Sam Harner, Zane Ingalls, Owen Murphy, and Ryan Kuiper. They have been competing over the course of today and yesterday. The boys' hockey team played in their section semifinals on Saturday against Albert Lee, beating them 5-0 in a shutout game. Brody Jensen had 2 goals on the night. They played on Wednesday against Rochester Lords in the section finals, shutting them out as well and securing their spot in the state tournament with a 2-0 win. Wade Gilbertson and Christian Whiteman scored a goal each for the Raiders. Our Raider boys basketball team played Byron away on Monday, upsetting the number one ranked team in our section and winning 79-74 in favor of Northfield. They played away again last night in Faribault for their last regular season game, beating the Falcons and winning 67-51. Our girls basketball team played Austin in their section quarterfinal game on Wednesday, winning 68-57. They play in the section semifinals today against Byron. Our boys swim and dive team had their section meet this week, securing the title of section 1A champions for the third year in a row. They are still undefeated on their current season and are headed to state next week. So, good luck to them. That's all for this week's Raider Scoreboard on this week's Raider Wrap. Keep tuning in for more sports on KYMN 95.1, The One.
When your car is under extended warranty, there's no need to go back to the dealership. The team at Witt Brothers has dealt with every kind of extended warranty company. With a quick call, they'll know exactly what it'll take to get your repairs covered. Warranties are there to reduce stress and risk. So let Witt Brothers make actually using that warranty as easy as possible. For all your automotive maintenance and repair needs, drive to Witt Brothers Service, located at 701 Division Street in downtown Northfield.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Hey, well, thanks, Liz. We appreciate that. Congratulations, of course, again to our wrestlers. Looks like we got 4 guys still alive. Zane Ingalls is out there. Keith Harner's still out there. Owen Murphy's still out there. And Ryan Kuiper are all in wrestlebacks. this morning over there at the state tournament. The girls' part of the wrestling tournament, Kelly Graber and Ella Pegel will be wrestling today. Ella at the 190 and Kelly at the 118. Now, Kelly last year wrestled in the boys' tournament last year and I think took fifth overall. And she'll be wrestling in the girls' side of the tournament this year at the 118 spot. And like I said, Ella Pegel had some injuries last year, but she's back in at 190. So congratulations to them. Congratulations to the boys for knocking out Faribault the other night. And, of course, taking down Byron. But we've got some playoffs coming for them. The girls' basketball team ended their season. They're in the middle of their playoff season as well. So lots of activities. Boys, excuse me, hockey. This morning we will find out from Mike Luckraft where they end up as far as what seed they might be. They could be a 3, they could be a 4, they could be a 5, could be a 6 even. So it's really hard to tell where they'll be. They're not number 1 or 2, and they're not number 7 or 8. We know that. So they're somewhere easily in the middle. Great show today. Great fun, all kinds of stuff. We're going to talk some choir today with Michelle Bennett, and we've got Mads Christensen coming in to talk a little bit more about that wonderful win against Faribault. And then, of course, Grant Selko is going to interview the boys' track and field runners. Fletcher Allen and Soren Murphy Pearson will be on the program today as well. So thank you so much for joining us. Don't forget, if you have a question and you'd like to ask it, and it's just driving you crazy, and you just got to know something about the choir department or something of that nature, we want you to reach out to us. It's studio@kymnradio.com. That's right, studio@kymnradio.com. And all you got to do is send us an email and just say, hey, what's up? What's going on with this? Who is this person that you're talking to, and what are they all about? So we want you to send that information over to us at studio@kymnradio.net. I'm going to pre-read them just to be safe. So we'll be pre-reading them, so we won't be asking anything too crazy or too embarrassing or anything like that. So, which, by the way, Michelle Bendit is going to join me this morning, who's joining me right now. And we got to find out, well, now, who is this? And so I read an article, and I thought, well, that must be a recent article. She goes, no, that's like 6 years ago. You've been around for a long time. You are the middle school choir director, conductor. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Aficionado. You're from Long Island.
I'm from Long Island, New York. Yeah.
How did you get to Northfield, Minnesota?
It's kind of a hop, skip, and a jump. You know, from Long Island, I moved to Florida, and I was there for a long time. And then this is my 10th school year in Minnesota, so I'm not quite a townie, but...
Well, I know you went up north. Mm-hmm. You were up in, where were you in, not in Brooklyn Park. Where were you?
Champlain Park High School. Yep.
Champlain Park. You did in the high school, so you're up there.
Yes.
Were you doing choir as
mm-hmm.
well?
That's
I'm assuming
right.
that's what you
yeah.
went to school. Did you go to college specifically for that?
I did. I went to Florida State in Tallahassee.
Okay.
And I
the
went.
The weather sucks down there, huh?
Ooh, it gets real humid there. Real humid.
It's not bad, though.
Lovely
not bad.
Some parts of year, for
yeah.
sure, and difficult other times, but... it was a fantastic program, and through my experiences in high school in Florida, because I moved there in ninth grade, I got to work with the music department at Florida State several times for summer camps, or their faculty would come lead an all-county chorus or an all-state, and I got plugged in that way and was just very inspired by all the things happening there.
So I originally was going to have Heather Olivier on, and she is, you said, the... Orchestra.
Yeah.
So that's more of instruments and mm-hmm. things like that. So is there choir, orchestra, band,
yes.
or is orchestra and band the same?
We have 3 different faculty members in
okay.
3 different classrooms.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So do you work together? Or
we do. Well, my classroom's in the middle of theirs, so I get caught in the crossfire with all the instrumental sounds coming from both sides. But I love them both, and we share a lot of students, actually. We have a lot of kids that do multiple music classes at the middle school. But as a department, we start planning and activities for each year together. We have a Veterans Day program that we do now every fall. We just finished our 3rd one. So we brought that in kind of after COVID ended, and we wanted something fresh that we could do as a unit.
So what do you do with that?
So we do that together. We have our 8th grade band on stage, our 8th grade orchestra on stage, sharing the stage, kind of squished, and our 7th and 8th grade choirs sing. And we invite veterans from the community to come, and so we can honor them.
Yeah.
And we have a guest speaker generally and some student speakers that read some things that they've written about why they're inspired by
the veteran story.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Exactly.
So did you do, you said you've already done that.
We do. Yeah, we do it every fall. It's done for this year. But we have a lot of other things coming up.
Sure.
If you'd like to hear.
Well, I will. I will. Yeah. Oh, okay. I want to know more about this Michelle Bennett person here.
Yeah, sure.
So I understand your husband has got some sort of a role here in town.
Yeah, well, St. Olaf is the reason why I ended up moving to Northfield. It was a job at St. Olaf for him, and then I was lucky to find a position at the middle school, and it's probably my favorite place that I've ever lived.
So the middle school, you're not teaching, you're just...
I teach. I'm a full-time teacher. I teach nine sections of choir, and I also teach voice lessons.
Okay, so you're not singing all the time, are you?
I sing all day.
No,
it's a beautiful thing.
Does the choir really sing all day, or do you guys... do drills and exercises and study music and things of that, or are you just in there singing Jingle Bells all day long?
Yes, no, we do many things because we want our music students to be music literate and to have a broader appreciation for music of different styles and different time periods. And so there's a lot of music theory work we do. Now, with my sixth graders, I was just thinking about this on the way this morning. We are in the phase of listening journals where we listen to other choirs perform and we analyze the performances. We learn to describe them with musical terms and then apply what we learn to our own performances.
So when you're growing up as a young person, mm-hmm. and then you've got ninth grade, you're down in Florida, and you just join the choir, and then you graduate, and then you're like going, I just love music. I mean, do you write music?
How far
down the road are we here with music with you?
Well, my music experience is school music. It's very vivid to me. I remember my general music classes from elementary school. I remember my teachers. I remember learning patriotic songs. I remember playing barred orff instruments like xylophones and metallophones. And I remember in third grade, that was the first time we could join choir. And I joined. And unlike a lot of other families of students that I teach, I have a lot of students whose families are sing. They were in high school choir. They sing currently. They're very musical families. I don't come from one of those.
Yeah.
I was actually the only one in my family that got the bug, you know, for singing. So once I joined third grade choir, I never stopped. And by the time I got to high school, I remember senior year, AP Physics and show choir were the same hour, and I had to choose.
Physics or choir?
I loved
it. I know which direction I'm going down.
Well, you know,
Some people might choose physics.
I know.
Some might find.
Well, I was contemplating like a career in healthcare or medicine as well.
Perfect.
And when choices like that came to me and I went with my gut, I always picked the music choice.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought that that was a good sign that that's where I would be most happy. And I don't know that I would have been happy in healthcare. I assume I would have been, but I'll never know that. And I know that I'm happy now. Doing what I'm doing.
Well,
I feel very, very lucky to do this.
In life,
mm-hmm.
it's what you make of anything.
Exactly.
Regardless of your situation. Whether or not you had that goal and you were sideswiped in life and you have to go down the pattern, another direction.
Right.
Better figure it out because it could be a long life.
That's right.
That's the way
right.
I look at it. So, but you came here 6 years ago.
Yes.
And they had an opening right away or...
They did. There's Kathy Penning was the teacher there for many years, and she had retired. And Matt Loudenbach came right after her, and he was there just for 1 year. So there was actually an opening 2 years in a row, and I was offered the job two times.
Okay.
Not quite ready to move the first time. I had a new baby and a wonderful colleague that I taught with at Champlain Park High School, Laura Temple, still a good friend of mine today, fantastic teacher. And I wasn't really ready to move yet. So when it opened again, I thought, this is a sign. Northfield is calling me. And I haven't looked back.
And then you came here.
Yeah.
And then your husband's like, oh, jeez, I suppose I better move down there too. I don't know. I'm sure you guys kind of did. You commuted.
Well, Tesva was
You actually
was
commuted
here first.
For a while, right?
Yeah, Tesva was had that St. Olaf job first.
Okay.
So he traveled, commuted to get to that job.
Were you living in Chaplin Park?
We were living in Columbia Heights.
Okay. Still a good good trip. Still a solid trip.
Right,
yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Pretty crazy. It's a long trip down here every day. But you had 9 hours. Did you start out full-time the whole time?
I've been full-time the whole time.
Okay.
Yes.
9 hours. Nine periods.
I have nine sections of choir.
Sections.
And we meet every other day currently.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So what do you do on those off days?
I have some, well, I don't have any off days, but I do have a period of voice lessons each day as well, which is something that's been really nice at the middle school where I get to work with kids one-on-one or in small groups to develop their knowledge and their skill in performing solo literature or small group, small ensemble performances, trios, duets.
Do they sign up for that? Do they ask for that? Do you recognize them as potential and you say, hey, how would you like to do a little voice coaching, or how does that work?
Kind of all of those things, really. It's kind of, and if their schedule will allow it too, because just like our band and orchestra lessons, they'll miss a little bit of some other class to come down for a lesson. So when it lines up with the study hall, that's ideal.
When I was in elementary school, choir was a requirement, but it was a class that was offered because it was either study hall or choir.
Yeah.
You know, so it was one of those deals where you had to choose one or the other. That was it.
Right.
Majority of people took choir. Why not? I mean, it was something to do, and you got to go into the Mike Nagel, I remember, was the choir teacher.
Mm-hmm.
And you'd never guess that he was a choir teacher. Just a gruff, you know, former Navy veteran, whatever it was. And, you know, you'd think, he was gruffy compared to Popeye. He wasn't that, you know, sweet, lovable guy.
Yeah.
And but here he was.
Yeah.
The choir teacher.
Yeah.
He was actually quite good at what he did. But you know, it was kind of one of those deals where you kind of got to do it. And then when you get into the middle school or junior high, I believe that was an elective as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, I continued to pursue it up until I think it was my freshman year, and then I bowed out after that, and then I was in the band for a little while and things of that nature too. But is it a requirement to be a part of the music department? Does the city of the school administration with Northfield, do they put a requirement for music anywhere?
There is a requirement, a state requirement, for an arts credit when you get to high school. So that could be in a fine arts class or it can be a performing arts class. For middle school, there are some requirements around having offerings for music. But the elementary, for choir specifically, in elementary, our kids can start in fourth grade and it's on a voluntary basis. They sign up and they get, I think, a 30-minute rehearsal a week with our elementary music teachers. We have fantastic elementary music teachers in our district. Molly Schwartz at Spring Creek, where my daughter goes, and Kristen Hummel at Bridgewater Elementary, and Angela Eliason at Greenville Park. So they see fourth and fifth graders separately, like two sections then of choir every week. And then in middle school, it becomes part of your schedule, where it has kind of equal weight to other classes in terms of the amount of time you spend on your each day. It's a period or an hour,
right,
we sometimes call it. So when you get to high school, it's every single day. So the commitment kind of increases as you go.
Well, and then you determine whether you're kind of serious too, right?
Like me with physics,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
Versus show choir. Yeah.
I did take physics too.
Yeah, well,
so,
I loved physics with Mr. Pate. He's still one of my most memorable teachers. So I wanted a little more Mr. Pate, but AP Physics was not.
See, I'd already done choir and band, so I had nothing left. It was like, okay, well, your choice is physics or nothing. Well, not really nothing. I can't even remember what my option was. I'm like, okay, I'll take physics. But it all worked out. So, let's talk a little bit about our middle school. Our middle school choirs and things of that nature, not mandatory, right?
No.
You don't have to come to your class.
That's right.
Why do you want them to come to your class?
I mean, I can go on and on about all the benefits of singing. The mind, the body, the spirit, all of these things get worked on in positive, healthy ways on a daily basis. And not only are we developing our sense of self and our understanding of our physiology and our limits and pushing beyond them and so many more things, but we're also collaborating and communicating with others in this environment in ensemble music. And we are a sense of kind of the bigger picture, a part of the whole. And I think that's a really important thing for kids to learn how to do and how to continue to be better at. In addition to all of the brain benefits that help you cognitively develop your being a good learner. And then you can apply those things to other places too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it's fun. You get to have fun while you're doing all of these things. The benefits to your nervous system during the school day and expressing emotions, feeling all of those vibrations of sound through your body, it's something that like physically meets a very human need, I think, as well.
Therapeutic,
yeah.
Indeed. With that said, you have multiple programs that come and go along the way. Oh, by the way, Michelle Bennett is my guest this morning here on the Raider Wrap. This is an activity. Choir is an activity. Did you know that, people? It's not, you know what? We have activities here. It's not just about sports. It's about a little bit of everything. And I was telling Rich before I got you booked on the program, and, you know, I was lucky in all reality because I did do choir in elementary school and then in junior high, and then I was in band. I was in speech. I was in drama. I was in the chess club. I was an athlete. So I got the best of all worlds. I look back at that and I wonder how I was able to fit that all in, but somehow I did it and, you know, still did my studies and still took physics. but I just, you know, I was fortunate.
Yeah.
And what I say about the fact that I wanted you on this program is we talk about all the sports that go on in the Northfield, you know, sector, but it's called Northfield. John Mahal's responsibility is the activities director.
Right.
Not athletic director, activities director. Right. And activities are things that are offered through the school that, you know, help develop and learn and educate in certain ways. And certain people have passions. Other people have other passions, right? That's the bottom line.
Right.
You're going to have the athletes that are going to go for the sports, and that's the way it's going to be. But then you also have people that are motivated by music and things of that nature. So it's great to know that we have all of these activities that are available. Why should I, as a student, whether I'm in fifth, sixth grade or seventh grade or whatever, why should I join your choir?
Because it is a place where we strive for everybody to belong and have a feeling of safety and feel through that safety, you're free to be vulnerable, exploring what your voice can do. And then also learning techniques that help you do the things that your voice currently maybe can't do as well. We hit students in middle school and high school and even upper elementary kind of start all of these different phases of their voice change. And it's really the perfect time to continue singing. You know, unlike some of those like stereotypical shows like Peter, I think on the Brady Bunch when his voice was cracking. You remember that episode?
Yes, I do.
Yeah, there's often that idea that when your voice starts making funny sounds to then just stop singing, to stop using it. And we really are here to say, no, it's actually quite the opposite. Because we can use techniques to help you navigate that voice change in a smoother way. And that's a really fun thing for me to work on, too, is work through the voice change. And boys and girls have them. Boys just have a more significant voice change than girls do.
Yeah. When my voice changed, I believe I used it as a voiceover for, I would do like an imitation of Snoopy or Donald Duck because my voice was cracking in certain areas. So it somehow worked.
Perfect?
And it was the Snoopy laugh apparently was ideal during my, that was my claim to fame as my voice was transitioning.
Well, I want to say one more thing too about why join choir. We need things in our lives that spark us, that keep us curious, that help us understand things from others' perspectives. Choir is one way that you can do that and continue to do it through your entire life, you know? And while I do, of course, support instrumental music education, choir is the one where you don't have to carry something with you.
Right.
You know, it's the instrument that you carry with you inside your body throughout your entire life. So theoretically, you can sing always. And it's so important for us as adults and as aging adults to stay connected with community members as well. And choir does that too. You know, you connect with people who you may not otherwise connect with.
Right.
And that's true for our middle school choirs, because now we have sixth graders coming in from at least four elementary schools, if we're just looking at the area ones. And now they're all thrown in the same building. Mm-hmm. They don't all know each other. And in this environment, we get to know each other in really important ways. And the seventh and eighth graders are mixed together in our choirs. So from grade level to grade level, they're connecting. And then our high school choirs are multiple grade levels mixed together. So we kind of stop siloing kids by grade level.
Right.
Once they get past sixth grade in our district, as far as vocal music is concerned. And that's another really nice thing that I think that can continue through high school. You don't have to know everybody in the room.
Right.
To become part of the community.
Right.
And every voice is important. Just to make a sports connection, I tell kids all the time, like, when you are in a choir, you are in the whole game. There, we have no bench. You play the whole game. And every single player is important.
Well, and your vocal cords are a muscle in reality. So you are, there's some physical exertion there, but you can teach your voice to your voice to do certain things.
Yes, yes. It involves knowledge. It involves a lot of coordination, patience, being willing to try new things, being willing to make silly sounds too, and not always get it right. We experiment with making sounds all the time.
Well, Michelle Bennett is our guest this morning. And again, studio at kymnradio.net. Do you have a quick question for her? We're going to be wrapping her up here pretty soon because they got to get some basketball players on here, speaking of sports. And the program's only an hour long.
Yeah.
So, but I appreciate the fact that Michelle was able to stop in this morning and provide us with some background information. Before we get going, though, obviously, we want to talk about how the community can be a part of the middle school. You got some programs coming up. You got some stuff going on.
We do, and it's very timely that I'm here on March 1st because this is Music in Our Schools Month, as designated by the National Association for Music Education, or we call it NAFME. This is the 40th year that we have this designation. So it's a great time to shine a spotlight on why music is important and what's going on in the community. We have, I'll give you an announcement that my band colleague put together, and then one from orchestra, and then I'll tell you a little bit about some choir stuff. We had two middle school students and two Northfield High School students selected to perform for the Minnesota Band Directors Association grade 6 through 8 and grade 9, 10 honor band. So I'd like to give you some names for these. This is Sam Borgerding on baritone sax, Austin Stein on percussion, ninth graders Leo Celine on flute and Hazel Shuffleton on trumpet were also chosen after submitting recorded auditions. They're going to perform and rehearse with the Allstate groups later this spring in Owatonna.
Okay.
So congratulations to them. Also, the Northfield High School's all-district band concert will be on one of your favorite days.
St. Patrick's Day.
St. Patrick's Day, March 17th at 7 o'clock p.m. In the high school gym. And this is band members in grades 5 through 12 performing. And since it's on St. Patrick's Day, all of the band students are going to play O Danny Boy together to end the concert. So be sure to show up, Jimmy, so you can sing along.
Well, we might as well.
Yeah.
Why not?
There you go. And I just want to also recognize...
Green beer is not included, right?
No, green beer.
No, not at a high school.
With the ticket. No,
okay.
No.
We'll see.
That would be a different gig.
Right.
we also just want to recognize Stephanie Bothan is the fifth grade band teacher.
Okay.
And she teaches band at all the elementary schools, just starting the kids on their instruments for the first time. And then Nahal Javon is the high school band director.
Right.
So Ethan Fryer is our middle school teacher. They will all be involved in that.
We got the intro to instruments. I got to get her on and just see what kind of a mental capacity she has. Because I think I started playing trombone when I was either in fifth or sixth grade. That had to have been impossible as an instructor because I was bad. Actually, I gave it up as a sophomore, and I was still bad. You know what I mean? I could never quite get to the point, but I could.
It does take a lot of
fifth grade band teacher. My goodness,
because right.
Literally, you're looking at somebody that's like, "Hi, yeah, I like to try and play the clarinet." Well, have you ever played it before? Well, of course not. No, so here you go, and you're like. Okay, and here it is. And to be, I got to believe some of that in choir, too. Because these kids are young. Voices are cracking. Maybe they think, you know, they can sing something or sing a song or sing whatever. And you're like going, come over here. I need you to sing this over here or something like that.
Right,
there's
got
to be a lot of patience, a lot of.
Yeah, there's methods to the madness for sure. Yeah. Oh, trombone player. Ethan Fryer is a trombone player.
Oh, there we go.
He plays professionally and composes. The Fryer Department is his band. And they've played in town at Armory Square. Lots of trombones.
Well, there you go. I love watching them.
Yeah.
But I ended up being, as a junior in high school, I ended up being in the marching band as one of the, I carried one of the rifles. I was one of the color guards up in the front.
That's amazing.
Yeah,
I love that.
Because they could only do 6 across the front, and I was number 7. So there you go.
You have to be a team player. You know, that's another thing about music ensembles, right?
Well, and I'm going to tell you, you know what? Some of the best summer trips were the band. I don't care. We went places. And we performed, and we were good as a marching band, but we went all over the state, everywhere, and we performed. And, but you know, just the camaraderie and getting to know each other, and then sitting. There's so many stigmas with band and choir and drama and theater and all that stuff, but it's some of the coolest people in the world, some of the most intelligent, some of the most creative, some of the just endearing, just loving, caring individuals, are in these groups. And it's so fun. And we had my senior year was just ridiculous. I mean, as from the marching band standpoint, it was just such a great way to go out because we graduated, right? And usually people graduate and boom, everyone's gone.
Yeah.
Well, we still had at least 6 weeks that we could hang out and still be in the marching band and go places and do things and whatever. And those are memories you just do not forget.
That's right.
They're awesome memories.
That's right. Especially, when we talk about music leaving a lot of long-term memory imprints on the brain and how sometimes, Alzheimer's patients won't remember their children's names or their children's faces, but they can remember that song that they sang with their mom, you know, when they were a child. So music just has a different place in long-term memory. The middle school, we just had a district choir festival. Ours was in February. We had the elementary, the middle, and the high school choirs, 670 students, by the way, across those grade levels, sing together in the middle school auditorium last Friday.
Wow.
Our final song, we all sing together, and it was Rhythm of Life. Well, we sang Rhythm of Life for our middle school and high school combined concert for parents on Thursday night of this week.
Okay.
That was the second part of what we do for vocal music at this time. And there are so many adults in the audience that could sing along because they sang that song in choir when they were in high school.
Nice.
And they were so excited to hear it. So that's another nice thing, how we can kind of like bridge generations.
Yeah.
Very cool. Some of these things.
Very cool. What's coming up? We got to wrap, unfortunately, Michelle. So thank you for coming out. I'm still looking at my studio at kymnradio.net inbox. I'm just waiting for someone.
Ask me a question.
Ask Michelle. You got a question, Michelle? Or Matt Christensen?
Say hi.
I don't care. You got a question for me? You want to know how to make a souffle? Don't ask me. What's coming up? We got some stuff coming up.
I have another upcoming event, and that's for our orchestra. This is the All District Orchestra Concert, and that's going to be Thursday, March 20th, my dad's birthday, in the Northfield High School gym at 7 o'clock. And there's almost 400 orchestra musicians. They're playing the overture to William Tell at the end. So that's a really powerful performance.
Yes.
That's Heather Olivier. Natalie Kruger is our elementary orchestra teacher. And Thomas O'Keefe is our high school orchestra director. And they also just have a couple of congrats because they had some students selected for the 2025 Minnesota String and Orchestra Teachers Association Middle Level All-State Orchestra. And this was Saturday, February 17th. They got to perform in this ensemble with a select group of other students from all across Minnesota. We had Audrey Bryan, Lucy Gordon Mercer, Helena Hollerin, and Max Mazziarello, and one more, Amargan Naga. Those 5 students were all in that ensemble. And we also had Soren Perkins and Mia Celine selected as alternatives. So congrats to them.
Right.
Yeah.
So you know what would be great? If we could get everybody eventually into the program. So I need you to be my ambassador.
Yeah.
of I need you to communicate to all of these instructors that they need to come out here and talk about. Because right now we could literally go through orchestra, band, and choir. We could probably be here for 3 hours talking about the upcoming events, different things going on and everything. So,
that's right. I have actually a lot more choir stuff I didn't even mention, but so, you can bring me back in April.
Is there a way I can find that information?
Is it on the Northfield
High School website?
We always send out emails to parents to let them know, and it's probably on our activities calendar, I would think, too, since John Mahal, you know, would handle that. So I would say the communication that you get from your school, our principal at the middle school and the principal at the high school look at those things, and our elementary principals too, look at those things because they always list the upcoming activities in those emails that they send once a week.
Do you have anything else coming up in the next week or two? For either the choir or orchestra or anybody like
not
that?
Not in the next week or two. Nope. You could, if you bring me back in March and April, I'll tell you all about the 17 students we have singing in the state honor choirs.
The state what?
Honor choirs.
Honor choirs.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. How many people are in the honor choir?
They are generally something like 150 per ensemble, and there's
okay, I thought you were going to say 10 or 15.
There's two ensembles, and these are kids from all over Minnesota that earned their position through auditioning, and we have 17 kids from our choir program going, and that's really significant. I'm super proud of them.
It's 10 and over 10%, if that's a fact.
So. Well, and if you like percentages, we have about 60% of Northfield Middle School students in a music ensemble. 6 out of 10 kids walking down the hallway come to either band, choir, or orchestra.
Okay.
And we do share some too. But 60%, I rounded down because we do share some.
Sure.
That's pretty amazing. Yeah. I've taught in several schools over my 23 years of teaching, and I have never seen a number quite that high.
Right.
And I think for a small town like this, I always say, like, small town, big opportunities. There's so many opportunities for our kids to do so many things like you did when you were a student.
Right.
And music is traditionally highly supported. Northfielders know it's good for kids.
Right.
So we are grateful to our principals and our school board and our superintendent, Dr. Hillman, for prioritizing music so that our students have these opportunities to grow. And these are benefits they will reap for their entire lives.
Well, we certainly hope so. I don't know. I can't carry a tune in a bucket these days. But anyhow, Michelle Bennett is our guest this morning. Thanks, Michelle, for coming in.
Thanks, Jimmy.
We got to do it again, but we got to get it on a more regular basis.
Yeah.
I'd love to see somebody from your department in here every month.
I love it.
There's only 9 months out of a year, and you've got about 12 directors, so.
That's right.
We should be able to do that once a month.
I love to talk, too, so if you just want some company, just a few minutes away.
I was going to say, I mean, this one only ran about 30 minutes, which. I'm going to catch it on that one. I didn't even play a commercial in between. Oh, my goodness. We better pay some bills now.
I know. Well, like you, I talk for a living, you know. I talk in front of
large groups
of people.
I thought you sang for a living. I talk for a living. You sing
for a living. Oh, I do that, too. Okay. I like that, too.
Very good. Michelle, thank you so much.
Thanks, Jimmy.
I really appreciate you coming in. Michelle Bennett is our guest, and if you want to listen back or if she wants her father, who she gave a shout-out to for the birthday, kymnradio.net. Go to today's program. Go to the Raider app. Click on today's date. And you can hear back all the fun that we had discussed yet this morning. And there's so much more we need to talk about with Michelle and the program and everything else. And this is just the tip. So we hope that very soon we're going to get some of these other people in here as well.
Yeah,
so
absolutely.
Thank you so much.
You.
Michelle Bennett.
Are you ready to move on from winter to enjoy the spring? Ready to reckon with the rain? Did you know you could get reimbursed for installing a rain garden on your property? You can learn how by attending the Rain Garden Workshop on March 6th from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock at Northfield High School. This free event requires registration and is a collaboration between Clean River Partners, the City of Northfield, and the Dakota County Soil and Water Conservation District. They'll teach you what to plant, where to plant it, and why rain gardens benefit the watershed. Register for this illuminating workshop at northfieldschools.org/community education. That's northfieldschools.org/community education.
Are you ready to turn your home construction dreams into reality? At Merchants Bank, they're here to help you every step of the way. Whether you're building your first home or next, their experienced team is dedicated to providing personalized services and the financial tools you need. With competitive rates, flexible solutions, and down payment options from just 5%, Merchants Bank is your trusted partner in home construction. Build your dream with them today. Merchants Bank, building dreams together since 1875. Equal housing lender. Subject to approval.
Hi, Dr. Michael Ritchie, Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center. Do you have HSA dollars that you're looking at wondering, hey, what can I use these on? Did you know you can use HSA, HRA, and other health savings accounts to pay for your LASIK procedure? In addition, if you have a Flex account, you can set aside money in your Flex account for next year to use towards LASIK.
Ritchie Eye Clinic and LASIK Center, Faribault. World-class LASIK, small-town traffic. RitchieEyeClinic.com.
This is Paul Ryland from Johnson Ryland Builders, introducing Craywood. With 22 single-family homes, these are heavily wooded home sites for very custom homes, whatever shape, whatever size, starting in the 600s. For decades, the Paulson family kept their little tree farm in the heart of our city, and now you can live there. There may never be another neighborhood with the new homes closer to the core, an easy walk to downtown or either college. Hit our website today, jrbr.builders, Johnson Ryland Builders and Remodelers, where custom homes meet your budget and your dreams.
This is Barb from Professional Dental Group, letting you know that the doctors and staff of Professional Dental Group are proud to call themselves Northfield Raiders sports fans. Whether scheduling for an implant, mouth guard, or general visit, we look forward to providing you with the same exceptional care that Professional Dental Group has delivered for over 45 years. So on behalf of Dr. Becky Johnson, Dr. John Nowak, Dr. Brian Cravey, Dr. Tyler Yonke, and Dr. Mallory Peterson, go Raiders!
Hello, I'm Wendy here at KYMN, starting your weekends with music, beginning at 6 a.m. Saturdays and Sundays. Tune in again Sunday nights at 6 for an hour of fine music on Fine Tune, right here on The One.
Good morning and welcome back to the Raider Wrap here on KYMN. Wow, what can I say? Michelle Bennett from the choir, middle school choir director there on the program this morning. And yeah, we ran a little bit late there, so hopefully I don't back these guys up too far. But Tyler Hupton is on the program, Isaiah Mahal. Caden Oakland is on the program with us this morning, and they are with the Northfield Raiders basketball team and the head coach in his third year, which... It just blows me away that you're already in your third year.
Your
Matt Christensen joins us. Matt, good morning.
Warranty.
How you doing?
There's no
I'm
need
living
to go
the dream.
Back to the dealership. The team at Witt Brothers.
Living the dream, he says. Okay, good. So yeah, third year on the program, and things have come along. You got a couple of three guys here. These three athletes here seem to have been around for a little bit with you for a couple of years, but this is your third year. You've won four in a row to end the season. This has got to be kind of an exciting time for you guys.
Yeah, things are really starting to click. We got three great leaders here, you know, that have helped our team gel and what we need to do. And, you know, there's always ups and downs of the season. We just want to be playing our best basketball by the end of the year, and that's what we're doing right now.
So you guys had a little contest the other night, and I believe you took on Faribault. Caden Oakland is one of our guests here. Caden, what position do you play for the boys?
I play wing forward area. I'll play the five at times. I'll play the three. I'll play the four.
How do you like the five?
It's fun. I get a battle with the big guys. That's right. A little undersized in that part.
Yeah.
For sure.
So how do you like your game? How do you like your game this year?
I feel like I've stepped up a lot of my shooting lately, and that's helped us out a lot. And then I've been able to get a lot of guys involved, and the guys are stepping up big and knocking down shots, playing tough defense. Couldn't have asked for a better team around me.
Tyler, you guys just knocked off Byron. How much fun was that game?
That was a really fun game. That the energy in that gym went ballistic, especially at the end. It was one of the loudest gyms I've ever been in.
They're in Byron. You're down there.
Yeah, we were. We were in Byron.
So you upset them in their home.
We did. Yes. Yeah. It was a really fun game.
Was there like any point during that game or anything like that? Like you were just like. You're just like, oh, my God, we're, like, in this game. We're like,
yeah, I mean, it was close throughout the whole game. There was never really a point where either team was out of it. It was really close the whole game. It was really fun.
Isaiah, how about you now? I mean, against Byron was great, and the other night against Faribault, that was senior night. So Did you guys go in? Did you go in thinking that you could win these games? I mean, everybody goes in. Don't get me wrong. You guys are all athletes. You don't go into any contest thinking you can't win. I get it. All right. But at the same time, there's always statistics. There is analytics. There is everything. Yeah. Whether it's Byron Faribault, whatever, when you go walking into that game, do you have a certain amount of confidence that you guys
for
can
sure.
win them all?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, early in December, we played number one Mankato East, and we only lost by 5 or 6, and we knew right then and there, like, we can hang with anyone in the state. So, I mean, like Coach was saying, the ups and downs of the season here, but going in and beating the number 6 and then the number 9 team in the state, I mean, it's feeling really good going into the playoffs for sure.
So, speaking of playoffs, Wednesday night, Matt, you guys kind of go into the program here, and it looks like you're going to take on Austin. So you guys got a nice little seed. You're number 4 seed. Got to be kind of happy about that, too.
Yeah, we anticipated that was, you know, going, especially going into that, both the Byron and Faribault game. It was like, hey, we're not sure how much this is actually going to shake up the seedings. But at that point, it didn't really matter. We just wanted to be, you know, playing our best basketball, winning, right, and be on the right trajectory going in. And we figured the 4 seed, which gets us a home game on Wednesday night at 7. And, yeah, we take on Austin, who we played a couple times this year already.
Yeah, I wanted to say that I thought I had looked at here, and you beat them back on January 11th, and then recently, just a couple weeks ago, you beat them again, and you beat them kind of handedly. So, I mean, Tyler, what do you remember about Austin that you're looking forward to going forward now? What do you remember from that game or from those games at all that you want to take away from?
Yeah, they play a zone, which requires just a lot of ball movement, playing together as a team. And we did that well both times. And they also have a couple guys that can hit some shots, light it up from 3. And we did a good job containing them, so we got to do that again on Wednesday.
Very good. So when it comes from a defensive style, Caden, how do you feel you guys are defensively? Are you guys more of a defensive team, or are you more of an offensive team?
Honestly, we're a well-rounded team. I mean, defensively, we pick up full court, we speed teams up, and it's really hard to play against that, I feel like, at least. And it just creates a little bit of differential between teams.
Yeah. Isaiah, do you get you guys get tired out there? Are you hustling that much? Does he run through the bench a little bit? Does he give you a break, or do you guys get tired?
Yeah, I mean, we did a lot of work in the preseason to get ready, because we knew this is the way, the full court pressing, and I mean, it wears teams down, so it might not seem like a big difference in the first half, but when the second half rolls around, we're in more shape, we're in better shape than the other team, so that really gives us an edge for sure.
So did you take that from Miracle, from the movie Miracle there, Matt? Is that, you know, how he's on the ice there? They're over in Sweden, and he makes them does the, you know, all night. They got to go back and forth and back and forth. He goes, we may not be the best hockey club, but by God, we're going to be the best conditioned. Is that kind of...
I think there's always bits and pieces. That's one of them. I don't know if I can take a hockey reference and bring it over to basketball. But
Well, I just did.
Yeah. All right, we'll allow it. But no, I mean, actually, when I was a high school athlete, my brother Scott, who you had on here, you know, just said, "Hey, if you want to be, you know, ready for basketball season, you should do cross country, you know, because it'll get you in like top kind of physical shape." And that always just kind of stuck with me, that, you know, if you can come into the season and you're already in really good conditioning shape, you know, that first month, then you're still doing really hard conditioning stuff, but it doesn't kind of put you a month behind, right? And because it's hard to think and also go full speed, you know, at the same time.
When your legs are coming
up. Yeah, and you're just gasping for air and stuff like that. It's just hard to retain and teach and learn, you know, in that environment. So it's a big deal that these guys put in the work, you know, preseason to be in shape and ready to go. And that allowed us to kind of be, you know, right in the right trajectory.
So even though the season is almost over, you go into playoffs, Caden. I mean, do you ever get gassed still? I mean, do you get a little gassed to look over at the coach and go,
I mean, there definitely is times that I get tired, but I mean, I take a lot of pride in the off season. I'm in football. I mean, early morning workouts we had run, and I mean, you'd expect only a couple guys there, like 6 a.m. to show up, but I mean, the culture we've created here, the coaching staff and players, I mean, everyone shows up, everyone's in shape. I mean, obviously I'm going to be tired and other guys are going to be tired, but it's because I'm giving my all.
Right. But you just keep working through that. Do you continue to condition that way throughout the year, or do you tone it down a little bit?
For sure. In practice, we're running, like, it's got to be a hard environment because, I mean, like Kobe Bryant would say, like, practice got to be harder than games for sure.
And then for you, Tyler, as you move forward and What are you a senior this year?
Junior.
So you're getting it all figured out now. Mm-hmm. Do you ever find yourself though? Literally, I mean, do you push yourself so hard that can you overdo it?
Sometimes you can overdo it, but that's just the part of the culture we've created that we give our all the time, no matter what, 100%. And it's the only way to do it, really.
Right. So are you liking what? So at the beginning of the year, give me your honest scoop. At the beginning of the year, you walked on the basketball court, right, with these guys, you know, and you walk on and you're like, going, okay, here we are, start of a new season. Any expectations? Did you have anything going through your head like, okay, this will be fun?
Well, this group, we have a chance to really do something in sections, make a deep run. And so we were all really excited about that, and we all did a lot of work in the off season, 6 a.m. conditioning workouts, putting everything out there in the mornings, and yeah, there was some we had some expectations for ourselves,
sure.
And we're playing up to them.
So I know that you guys average about 22 points a game. Is that design, coach? Are you trying to go into Caden and go into Isaiah here, are you trying to go into those, are you focusing on those guys, or how's that working?
Yeah, I mean, a lot of our sets are designed to get those to the ball, and they're our two best scorers, right? So you want the ball in their hands, and then we do a lot of motion-based stuff, and that was some of the figuring out this year to go, how do we, you know, teams are going to cue on it. They obviously know, you know, those are our two best scorers, so how do we get other guys involved and make sure that we're getting open shots? And the guys have done a really good job, you know, adapting to that and how teams are going to play us, and just making, at the end of the day, just make the right read. Sometimes that's shooting 10 times in a row, and sometimes that's passing 10 times in a row, right? But the guys have done a really good job of finding that balance of when to be aggressive and you know, when to find their teammates and trust them to knock down shots and make plays. You know, you mentioned one thing, Jimmy, about the, do they get tired? I've coach Grant Hemmingson, he's our varsity assistant. We often, there's times or periods during the game where there's a long stretch and there hasn't been a whistle and our guys are looking pretty tired. And he's like, maybe we should take a timeout. I'm like, heck no, you know, like, let's keep going. They're tired too, you know, we'll battle through.
Oh, yeah,
they're just fine,
they're,
right?
They're probably tired too.
You know, like, let's not give them a break. And because I, you know, it's that mentality of our guys going, hey, you know, we can make that difference, you know, in a run of a game when both teams are tired, we can push through, you know, more than the other team.
Do you know when he's going to take a timeout? Do you have any idea at all? Do you, like, run?
I don't take
the floor
many timeouts.
He doesn't take timeouts?
I know, like, last night we got on a run. I think we were on, like, a 6-0, 8-0 run, and then I think they scored twice or one time, and it was like, an easy layup for them. So I feel like Coach did a really good job of just taking a timeout, just like, hey, we'll just keep our run going here, and let's huddle back up together, and let's go win this thing. So.
Right. So did you guys have that pretty much under control? Did you say for the most of that game, were you guys in control?
I'd say overall, I think we kind of – it was back and forth early, and then I think we were up 5 or 6 at halftime or something like that, and we knew we didn't maybe play our best defensively, and, I mean, we just kind of came out and just put the foot on the gas, and defensively we were really good, and that's what really led to our offense, and we were playing really good team basketball, and, yeah, they couldn't guard everyone, so it's fun when we're all sharing the ball, and yeah, it's awesome.
So Caden against Byron, let's talk about that one. You won by 4 points, okay? So how did that game shape up at the end? What was going on? What was happening? Was it close? Were you guys ahead? Were they catching you? Were you catching them? How did you take them over? What happened?
So it was close, like, the entire game, like, the whole stretch. It was never over 10, I'm pretty sure. Like, if I look back, and, I mean, we just outlasted. I feel like our press allows us to do that. I mean, we're in better shape than any of these teams we're playing against, and towards the end of the game, it's who wants it more, and we've shown time and time again we want it more than any other team we put in that time in. But definitely the environment they had down there was so loud. I remember telling some guys, like, I was shooting free throws, and I just couldn't think to myself, but I just felt the support from everyone around me. I was like, I'm going to knock down these free throws. Isaiah knocked down his free throws, and
yep,
it just wraps from there.
Right. So how about you there, Tyler? So during that Byron game, was there a point, I mean, were you feeling that too? Was that right down to the wire, or was there a point where you were thinking maybe, and you guys collectively as a team were like going, we got this?
I mean, yeah, I mean, we were, it was right there. It was back and forth. We were trading the leads for the last 2-3 minutes. And then they had a chance to take the lead back, and we forced a turnover. And that's when we all kind of knew, like, yeah, we're going to do this. And then they had a chance to win it. We played great D, or tie it up, I guess. We played great D, got the rebound. Isaiah knocked in a couple free throws, put it away.
So you get Austin again on Wednesday night. What's Coach got you doing? What's he, has he got you doing anything fun, anything new, or is it same old, same old? You just played last night, so I really can't even. There's been no practice. There's been nothing. What do you got in store for him? What do you guys wait for it? Yeah. Okay, what do you got? I mean, what are you going to do to these poor guys?
Yeah, so I mean, you want to stick with the things that work, right? And the things that we do well, and then you always try and anticipate, you know, what adjustments might a team make, and then how would you adjust to that? So you're just always trying to stay one step ahead, just in case, and you go with your original game plan, you know, game plan A, right? But you have a game plan B ready, you know, just in case, and you know, there's not necessarily something new. It's just more, what do you emphasize, you know, during practice, and what do we want to make sure we get reps on and timing and stuff like that. You know, I think we've done a good job, and the guys have done a good job of, you know, we've this season more than others, we've prepared season wide or the length of the season to mix in the things we knew we were going to see against section opponents. So, you know, we might be playing a team that runs man defense for 3 games in a row, but we know we're going to see zone, you know, in the sections. And so we want to prepare for that. So we really sprinkled in, you know, our zone offense and our looks and stuff like that to make sure, you know, that it wasn't something just brand new, you know, that when the section or when we play a zone team, that it wasn't, we weren't ready for it.
Right. Anything, are you going to switch up anything at all? Are you switching up your offense, defense, anything that now that you're in the playoffs?
No, I mean, we added in kind of one different element to something that we do on the offensive end, just a floor spacing kind of thing, and gives us a little different look. We know we're going to play some teams that have some bigs and some kind of shot blocking abilities, so we wanted to put in just a slightly different look that got us a little more spacing for our guards and stuff like that. But yeah, from a practice perspective, we get to practice on our home court on Monday, and then we get the fun experience to go over to Carlton and practice at the West Gym over there on Tuesday. So I always like going over there, and I think some of the guys like going over there too. It's a good experience.
But you'll be over here at the high school for that Wednesday night game.
Yep, Wednesday game, 7 o'clock. And we're hoping to pack the stands,
which would be nice, right? I mean, it looks like this team has got some really good potential here. So now you had Austin. Chances are you get the winner against Winona and Byron again. So how do you keep the guys focused?
Yeah, you just, you know, you take it one game at a time, right? It's that's all you can control. So we got to focus on what we're going to be doing with Austin, and offensively and defensively. And like I said, we played them twice already. You know, we have lots of game film, you know, so we'll know what the game plan is. And and then at this point, it's just go in there and play hard.
Awesome. Well, we wish you the best of luck.
Thank you.
We want to keep talking to you, because then you get passed through, you know, the first round, then you got to come in and talk about it. And then you got to get past the second round, you got to come in and talk about it. And then you got to advance the state, and then you got to come in and we got to talk about that. And
Sounds like a good deal.
I like that idea, guys. What do you think, huh? Sure, yeah. Huh? I want to see you guys in here for the next 4 straight weeks.
Yeah,
how about that?
That'd be a good problem to have.
Right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, that means you're coming out of St. Paul or coming out of Minneapolis, coming out of there. Yeehaw. Uh-huh. Any expectations like that? Do you ever think about that, like the state tournament and stuff like that? Or
is it it's always been a dream to make a deep run in sections and then ultimately get to the state tournament. But I think the theme for me this year is just kind of leave it all out there. No regrets. It's my senior season, so let's just go give it our all right here, right now. So, yeah.
Tyler, you're a junior, so I mean, you've got another year ahead of you, but at the same time, I mean, I think you can agree that each team collectively comes together as a unit, and those personalities all mix, the talent all mixes together, things like that. What were your expectations at the beginning of the year, and kind of where are you at right now?
Well, the expectations was we make a deep run in sections, and we're playing our best basketball right now, so we can definitely do that. And, yeah, I mean, it's Isaiah's senior season. He's put a lot into this program, and it's been 90-plus years since we made the state tournament, so it'd be really cool if we could do that.
Awesome. Caden, how about you? Are you all pumped up here for the playoffs?
Oh, for sure, definitely. I mean, it's always been a goal of mine and the whole team to break that long streak of, I'm pretty sure it's 96 years that Tyler was saying. But, I mean, it's we can't expect it. It's, we got to go out there, leave everything we got, and I believe if we do that, then there's not a team that can compete with us.
Well, you beat Byron once, and that proves, right?
We can hang with anyone.
You can hang. You can hang. Now it's just a matter of whether or not you guys collectively come together as a team and put it all together each night, right?
Yes, sir.
And that's the way it is. All right, guys. Well, hey, congrats. Nice job, boys.
Thank you.
Way to go. Way to represent. Nicely done. Matt, I appreciate you bringing in. I appreciate you staying late. And Michelle and I got a little bit crazy. But thank you so much. Congratulations on a third year. Great season. It's a good season. It's been. You've had some ups and downs, right?
I mean,
you're above 500, but you're playing your best basketball. That's got to be our best basketball.
And 7 o'clock Wednesday, you know, come on out and join the fun. It's gonna be we talk about the great environment. We had really fun environment down in Byron last night. The place was packed with Faribault. They had a band. I mean, it was awesome. So, you know, we're expecting, especially with hockey playing during the day on Wednesday with the state tournament, you know, it'll be a great turnout for us on Wednesday night.
Well, that's what we're hoping for sure. So, yeah, hopefully the boys will be victorious on Wednesday as well. So, congratulations, gentlemen, on an outstanding season. Good luck and go Raiders.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks, guys. We appreciate that. Matt Christensen is the head coach of the boys basketball team, along with Tyler Hupton, Isaiah Mahal, and Caden Oakland, our guests this morning on the Raider Wrap. Don't forget to check them out on kymnradio.com. We're going to wrap this program up. We're going to send it down to meet the Raider here. We've got, I believe, as Grant Selko's got an interview with Fletcher Allen and Soren Murphy Pearson, who will be participating in this year's track team. That's all coming up in just a minute or so. We'll take a break. We'll come back with more of the Raider Wrap coming up here on AM. None other than, of course, AM 1080 and FM 95.1. The one. Let's kick it over. Actually, let's jump real quick if we can. We'll jump right over to the... I think we'll jump right over to the Meet the Raider program here. If I can get that one in there, track and field is for sure. Let's get that one going, and we'll have Grant Selko bring us all the latest in this week's Meet the Raider.
Hello, Raider Nation. Welcome back to Meet the Raider. I'm your host, Grant Selko, and today in the studio we have track distance runners Fletcher Allen and Soren Murphy Pearson. What are your main goals for the upcoming track season?
I'd say some of my main goals is mainly just dropping time in a lot of my events. I'm kind of at a threshold right now where things can get, you know, I can be faster than I even ever believed I was when I first started running track. So that's really been exciting. But most importantly, I want to be able to get the 4-way to state. Last year we were awfully close. It was a real battle, but we just couldn't quite do it. So those are definitely the two things I'm looking forward to the most.
Yeah, and I'd say that I'm probably looking forward to, you know, just getting back into it. I've been injured for the past couple months, so I think just getting back into it, doing the best I can, that's all you can ask for.
And how do you guys plan to improve your times this season?
I've been running a long time, so it can be pretty tricky to, you know, get a new PR. It's not always easy, but you just stay with the plan, trust the coaches, good things tend to happen, so that's what I'm going to do.
Yeah, I agree.
What has your training regimen looked like during the off season?
We've just been doing some runs, kind of easing back into it. Right now we're really building the distance part of our training. With that, it's more long runs. That can be kind of hard, but once we get more into the track season, it's going to be more speed-focused. So right now it's more about building the base, and we're going to sharpen the speed up later.
Just getting some light workouts in. No need to push it in the early season. And I also trying to get some elliptical in as I can't run as much.
This question is more for Soren, but Fletcher, you can answer it too. How do you guys plan on preventing injury this season?
Yeah, definitely just taking it a day at a time, you know, making sure to get some quality core in to prevent injury, some, you know, shin prevention, strengthening all the little muscles. I think that's important now. So think that, you know, you got to react to what your body tells you, you know, just make sure that you know what you can do every day.
What are some key areas that you would like to improve this season?
I think I really would want to drop a couple seconds of the 800 this year. Last year, that was kind of my main event, and I'm really excited about this year just because going back to the 4x8 to state. If I drop some time, I can help the team get there. And that's, again, like, I'm on a threshold, and things can be really great if I drop a couple more seconds. That'd be good. But also, it'd be nice to drop some time in the mile as well.
True. I also want to drop some time in the 800 to get the boys to state as well. You know, I'm more a long-distance guy, but I'd like to get the speed up so we can make that 4x8 go to state.
Do you believe it's mentally difficult to be able to break through to get PRs?
Yes, absolutely. Especially when the track season's just beginning. You know, it's a lot of pain involved. It's never easy. But good things tend to happen when you just push through it. Because you get used to some of that stuff when you've just been running a while. You understand what comes with every race. And that helps you really dial in. And PRs, they're not easy to get, but good races do happen. Things line up, so yeah.
And how would you stay mentally focused during a difficult practice or a race?
I just focus on, you know, giving it the best I can. You know, just remember that I've been training for the past couple weeks and months. Just all the work. Just remember all the work that you put into where you're at right now, and just go have fun. This is the fun part.
Yeah, I agree. It's just, you know, not every race is perfect, but just got to push through it. Be mentally tough. Same with practices. They're not all fun, tell you that much. But, you know, great things happen. You just got to stick to the program.
What kind of preparation do you guys take physically the day before a race?
I do a lot of focus on sleep, just trying to get a good night's sleep. It doesn't have to be great, not perfect, but it's got to be enough. And I also try to eat. It doesn't have to be, you know, the perfect meal, but cutting out anything that's, you know, like bad for you, like fast food or whatnot, just because I want my stomach to be in the best place going into a race.
Usually get a granola bar in an hour before the race. You know, that's my routine that I do every time. You know, just got to stick to the same routine. I also like to make sure that I drink a lot of water the whole day leading up to my race so that I can, you know, be in the right condition to race.
Do you believe it's difficult to balance academics in your athletics during the season?
I mean, yeah, at times, but most of the time it works out pretty well. Most of the teachers are really understanding of an athletic schedule.
Yeah, true. I think also flex helps, because sometimes when you miss some seventh hour classes or you miss a quiz, you can make it up during flex the next day, so it's no big deal.
What are you guys most excited about for the upcoming season?
I'm really just excited to be running again full time. It's really a special thing when the season gets going, running with all the guys and whatnot. It's a lot of fun. And the competitive aspect has also been something I've been missing during the off season. It just feels good to be active and be healthy.
Yeah. I'm excited to get back to running, but I'm also just excited to get back to having fun times with my friends, because I've been missing out on that being injured.
Although track is more of an individual sport, do you believe it's important to have support from your teammates during races?
It's hard to really do it alone. Motivation comes from someone running next to you, or it comes from someone cheering you on, and that really means a lot.
Yeah, I think also, when you're in a relay, having that baton just gives you an extra boost just to make you run faster.
Are there any specific runners or teams that you guys are going to be chasing this season?
Ooh, that's a good question. I don't particularly know for sure. I think the rivals can kind of vary, just like who are the runners of that school. Last year, we were kind of running to beat Winona, but they were a little bit out of reach by the end of the season. So I'd say I don't actually have an answer for that.
Yeah, I think last year also we barely got beat out by Albert Lee, but I know they lost some of their good guys. So I guess we'll see how everyone lines up this season. I know Stuartville seems like they have a good thing going this year in cross country.
Do you guys believe it's important to also run cross country to be good at track and field?
Yeah, I think it's a great way to build a base for the track season. Even though it's very far away, I think it's a great way to get your legs used to running, and then you kind of enhance the speed aspect more in track. But you have that base from cross country.
Yeah, I mean, you don't have to run cross country to be a great distance runner on the track, but I think it helps, and there's just so much similarity between the two. They feel awfully similar, but there's been great runners who actually don't do cross country and do track, But me personally, I think it's definitely helpful just to have that distance already in you instilled, and you can go really far with that cross-country base.
And both being cross-country runners, how has cross-country helped you during your track seasons?
Cross-country has made it easier mentally just because it's really difficult. And sometimes you get some races in track that are actually a little easier than cross-country races. So that really puts everything in perspective and makes the sport a little more fun and special in some other regards. And also just helps you get camaraderie with your teammates.
Yeah, also I think it's good to switch from some longer distances to some shorter distances, because like Fletcher said, they can also be pretty fun as well.
What has been like your proudest moment during your track season or cross-country season?
I'd say my proudest moment probably comes during the cross-country season. We're fortunate enough to go to state 2 times in a row, and that's never been done before in Northfield history. So that's a really big deal. And I didn't even really expect it, but once I found out that kind of statistic, that really made me feel something.
I think my proudest moment was making state that first time as well. And I still think even though I wasn't on the team, it was still exciting to watch you guys make state.
What has been your most embarrassing moment in either track or cross country?
I have a great story for this. When I started running track in 8th grade, first time on the high school team, I was really 2-mile specialist. That's what they brought me there to do. And I was running the 2-mile at this one meet. In case you didn't know, that's 8 laps around the track. I'm not a huge math guy, so it's kind of hard to keep track of the numbers in my head. And I'm running, and I kind of think I'm done because there's like a guy who laps me, so I feel like it's over, and the guy isn't telling me any differently. And so I start to walk off the track, and I look over at my teammates, and they're saying, one more. They have one finger up, and I'm like, what are you talking about? I just finished. Like, that was the best race ever. I just ran a PR. Like, it's over. And then I realized I did 7 laps, not 8.
Oh, my goodness.
So I hopped back on the track and cranked one more lap out, but that was really, really embarrassing. And I really wish I could go back in time to reverse it because, oh, my gosh, that was not it.
Yeah, my story can't top that one, but an embarrassing moment. One time during cross country, I was this was actually last year. I was spectating a race, and I was standing in the middle of the course with Tommy Cahoon, and we didn't see the people coming, so there was like a ton of people yelling at us to get off the course. And
what is your like pre-race routine an hour or so before the race?
Typically, hour before the race is when you go in your warm-up run, and that can vary depending on the race, but use about mile and a half. Yep. And then after that, you chill a little bit, and then you start doing your stretches, the ballistics.
Yep, ballistics, and then after ballistics, you do some strides typically, and then a couple more ballistics.
How do you guys handle pre-race anxiety?
It can be tricky sometimes, but you really just got to remember that once the race starts, all that anxiety goes away.
True.
So you kind of just got to roll with the motions and get ready for when that gun goes off, because then you're going to feel a lot better, even though the competition started.
Yeah, and you've done this a million times before, and if you haven't done it before, then there's no pressure at all. So, yeah.
What are your guys' favorite kind of workouts to do during the season?
Probably like the tempo runs. They're usually...
I mean, just like easy runs.
No, well, that's not a workout.
What? I don't have a favorite workout.
This is the easiest workouts are probably the moderate pace runs, like the tempo runs.
And what would be your least favorite workout to do?
Probably the broken eights. It's basically 3 broken 800s, like 500, 300, or 600, 200, and they're at 800 pace, and then mile pace, and then 800 pace. So it gets pretty brutal. Your legs start to hurt at the end, but...
Other than running, what is your favorite part about being on the track team?
Man, I like that I get to see all my friends from other sports who are doing track. Yeah, you just meet a lot of cool, unique people.
Yeah, I actually have the same thing. I love the distance guys, obviously, but it's really great to talk to other people on the track team just when you're doing all this stuff together.
Do you believe it's important to build strength in your muscles during the season or before the season?
For sure. I know some guys, 800 specialists, they were lifting heavy in the off season, because when you're doing an event like that, having power from your legs is really, really important.
True, yeah. Also, it's lifting is a great way to help prevent injury.
What are some of your pacing strategies when you do a long-distance race?
Well, I know when I'm racing a 2 mile, sometimes it can be sometimes you can get pulled out hard in the pack, go out faster than you want to. But what I like to do is just sit behind some people for the first couple laps and then just gradually increase my effort every 200 meters for the last couple laps.
Yeah, I'd agree with that. I'd say for a long distance race, you go out, you know, steady. You want to feel controlled. And then you try to hang on to that pace the best you can. And really just be competitive past anyone in front of you that you can.
Yeah, the last two laps, you're just thinking, how many people can I pass?
Yeah, the last two laps really is, it's a completely different game than the other ones, because you're absolutely standing as fast as you can at that point, because there's almost nothing left. You got to go.
True, yeah. And then for the 800, you want to make sure you get out a pretty good start. Usually your 800, you want your first lap to be faster usually. So yeah, that's some different strategies.
And how might you deal with a bad race or any setbacks during the season?
You know, you just got to have a memory of a goldfish, because bad races are going to happen for sure. If you're a young track runner, it's not pretty at the start. And even now, I still have bad races, but it's okay.
Yeah,
you'll have a better day. Got to stick with it.
Sure. Just keep going. Sometimes your legs are going to be more tired than other days. You just got to keep training. You'll peak for the end of the season.
Does it get difficult to stay motivated during the season when you kind of hit your peak?
Sometimes, for sure. I've had races. I run the best race I feel like I ever could, and I'm doing that race again, and it just doesn't feel the same. Yeah, it's really hard to stay in at that point.
Yeah, your legs are tired, so you don't run as fast. So it can be a little demoralizing, but you know that after the taper, we're usually ready to run some fast times, so we got that to look forward to.
What advice might you give a person who's trying distance track for the first time?
I'd say distance track is really great. I know it seems like the worst thing ever. If you just stick around a little bit, get through some of the growing pains, it can really be a lot of fun. So yeah, just have an open mindset and be flexible for whatever the road brings.
It's hard work, but it's really rewarding in the end when you finish a 2 mile. It's crazy high.
Thank you guys for coming in today, and thank you KYMN fans for listening. If you miss a part of this interview live or you just want to listen to it again, head to our website kymnradio.net and tap on the sports header. You're with Grant Selko on this week's Meet the Raider on the Raider app. Tune in for more sports this week on KYMN 95.1.
Are you ready to move on from winter to enjoy the spring? Ready to reckon with the rain? Did you know you could get reimbursed for installing a rain garden on your property? You can learn how by attending the Rain Garden Workshop on March 6th from 6 o'clock to 9 o'clock at Northfield High School. This free event requires registration and is a collaboration between Clean River Partners, the City of Northfield, and the Dakota County Soil and Water Conservation District. They'll teach you what to plant, where to plant it, and why rain gardens benefit the watershed. Register for this illuminating workshop at northfieldschools.org/community education. That's northfieldschools.org/community education.
Heritage Dental Care in Northfield is a general dental clinic specializing in a variety of dental procedures and services. New patients and emergencies are welcomed 5 days a week. Heritage Dental Care is a proud supporter of Northfield Athletics and wish all of our athletes the best of luck this season. Make an appointment today with Dr. David Bress, Dr. David Buck, or Dr. Michael Thompson. Go Raiders!
Your business is a vital piece of the Northfield area economy, and the economic health of the business community is vital to your business. Stay connected by becoming a member of the Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce. They can help you forge relationships and partnerships that can take your business to the next level. Networking events are great opportunities to get your business in front of new people and make strong connections with other Northfield business owners. The Northfield Area Chamber of Commerce knows how important your business is to our economy, and they want to help you stay connected. Go to northfieldchamber.com, sign up, and take your business to the next level.
95.1. The One.
Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. Jimmy crack corn and I don't care. My master's gone away.
Jimmy LaRue bidding you adieu for yet another Saturday morning here on KYMN. What a program we had this morning. Just a fantastic group of people that were in here today. We want to thank Michelle Bennett, the choir director for the middle school, for coming on this morning. We got into an extended conversation with Michelle, and it was fun to listen and just kind of get a kind of insight as what's going on with the choir programs. We do know have our orchestra, we have our band, we have choir, we have all kinds of fun events and activities for the Northfield Raiders and for the students to participate in. So hopefully we'll start seeing some more of those representatives on the program as well. We talk about it being the Raider Wrap, and it's, you know, we wrap up the Raider activities, all the activities that are there. There's also speech, and there's drama, and there's law, and there's debate, and there's chess, and there's drama, theater. There's so many things that are going on in the Northfield area all the time with Northfield youth and activities, so we want to be able to represent all of them on there. If there's somebody you want to hear from or somebody you want to talk with or ask a question, you can certainly do it. Just go to studio at kymnradio.com for all the latest. Michelle Bennett, choir director for Northfield, joining the program. Then we had Matt Christensen on board as well. He brought a couple of the ball players there, Tyler Hupton and Isaiah Mahal and Caden Oakland on the program this morning, along with one-on-one interviews with this week's Meet the Raider with Grant Selko. And Liz Campbell gets you up to date with all the scores and highlights to kick the program off this morning. You can listen back to all of it just by going to kymnradio.net. Go to programs, go to the Raider app, click on today's date, and you can listen back to all the great information that we were able to provide for you this morning. Callie Graber going on to the state girls wrestling meet today. Ella Pegel will be participating as well. The boys are still alive. We've got Zane Angle, who is in the semifinals right now. Keith Harner's in wrestleback. Owen Murphy's in wrestleback, along with Ryan Kuiper. So all of those guys are in the tournaments and will be participating yet today. Boys swimming going after it again today as they continue to compete. They won the sections, I want to say, last night as well. And the dive, swim and dive did some activities yesterday. And so lots of things going on with regards to Raider sports. The boys basketball team, who we had Matt Christensen in here with, a couple of the players as well. They'll be taking on Austin. So it's the number 4 seed Northfield taking on number 5 seed Austin Wednesday night, March 5th. That's this coming Wednesday, 7 o'clock. At the Northfield High School, they actually got a home game out of this deal. So great season for the boys. And then it's in, boys and girls. It is here. It is here. Let's hear for the boys in the band. Northfield, number 3 ranked. Northfield taking on number 6 Orono this Wednesday, 1 p.m. from the XL Energy Center as the state tournament begins for boys hockey. Class A hockey, it will be Northfield taking on Orono. They did defeat Orono earlier in the season, but that was about 6 weeks ago. So they will be competing hard on Wednesday at 1 o'clock. We'll be broadcasting that live here on KYMN Radio and streaming it on KYMNRadio.net. So tell all your fans family and your friends and your foes and anybody else you know, and just let them know that the Northfield Raiders are in town and they are playing in the state tournament. And they will, of course, the winner of Northfield Orono goes on to play the winner of St. Cloud Cathedral and Matamidi. So tough division. Tough division. St. Cloud State, the champion from last year. Matamidi was kind of a runner-up last year as well. So a lot of competition there, and they will be facing the other side, who will be Hibbing Chisholm, the number one seed, taking on Laverne. Hibbing, of course, defeating Cloquet the other night to advance as the number one seed. Northern Lakes Lightning, the number five seed, and East Grand Forks is the number four seed, and they will be competing on Wednesday as well, and they'll be moving towards a state championship come the 8th, which is be Saturday at high noon, it sounds like, on Saturday. So go Raiders all the way around. We've got some section playoffs on Wednesday to look forward to. So hopefully you can get up to the XL Energy Center, root them on. Maybe we can even get a pep band up there. And, hey, let's bring the choir. Let's have the choir up there singing the Raider anthem or something like that. That'd be fun. I forgot to ask Michelle that. Maybe we'll have to call her back and see if we can get her on the program again. But again, Wednesday, big day, big day. XL Energy starting at 1 for the boys state high school hockey tournament, followed by 7 o'clock section playoffs going on as Northfield Raiders take on Austin here at the Northfield Gymnasium. So thank you so much for joining us this morning. Jimmy LaRue again bidding you adieu for yet another day. And it is 8 minutes after 11 o'clock. We're on our way to 28 today, maybe 52 by Monday. We got plenty of sunshine today. Get out, enjoy it, have some fun, and soak it all in. Get some vitamin D today, boys and girls. It'll feel so good. 17 with sunny skies currently in the River Valley. Have a great day, everyone. Take care. We'll see you next time on the Raider Wrap right here on AM 1080 and 95.1 The One KYMN.